podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
College football is returning to Dublin this summer, yet the Aviva Stadium will host the 2024 Aer Lingus College Football Classic. Georgia Tech, Florida State, August 24th. You got to be there. Game tickets available in March 2024. And here's the kicker. In the meantime, you can register your interest at collegefootballireland.com. Go to collegefootballireland.com, get exclusive updates, team news, access to the pre-sale. So make sure you don't miss out. And you don't want to miss out because Propo is going to be there. And if that wasn't enough, Ben's going to be there as well. What a game it's going to be. collegefootballireland.com. Get involved. Fellas, 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 good to see you both. Got a bit of swag about us today because all three of our Drew Locks landed proper.
Yeah, I'm on the charge now. It has to be said, I've won two in a row, which is a charge for me so far this season, considering how bad it's been. Showing off as well, taking the 49ers. I even boosted up to -9.5 from the 2.5 that I got it at for the Drew Lock. So I really am showing off. But there is the person also on this podcast. Beneath me on this call is the biggest show off of all time. I believe he's 6-1 with the Drew Locks right now.
Oh, God.
And 6 is the key number at this moment in time because he managed to cover a 5.5 laid spread by only scoring 6 points in the whole game with the LA Chargers. How do you feel right now, Ben Isaacs?
Well, a lot better than I did during that game where I was incredibly nervous.
They should have never covered that spread. They should have never covered that spread.
Is that the jammiest pick in the history of sports gambling?
I felt confident on it, and it ended up being really lucky. But I felt confident on it, and I know that you two were trying to warn me off it, but it felt right to me.
Yeah.
But my word, like I said to my wife at the time, like, You get to a point when you're covering sports where you are not rooting for your team, you are rooting for your picks. Mm-hmm. And when you're rooting for your picks, it just feels weird.
Can I clarify a couple of things? When you said to your wife at the time, you mean at the time you said that to your wife, or you changed your
wife? I do like to sometimes annoy my wife by introducing it to people as my current wife.
yeah.
It's just like with this show, you've got to keep people on edge a little bit, you know?
Mm.
If you can't be taken for granted. So that's what I like to do at home.
Well, I'm glad that we all landed. ChatGPT needs to pull its socks up, quite frankly, because that is back-to-back weeks now that ChatGPT has not landed its Drew Lock.
Yeah, although I think that's a little bit harsh because I thought that Titans should have covered that spread. It was the right side. But geez, that is one of the biggest meltdowns by a special teams coordinator I think I've ever seen on an NFL field. Like, to go back-to-back block punts, and it wasn't even like it was like close or it was a great play by the Colts. It was just a complete and utter...
Oversight, yeah.
It was absolute insanity. So bad that they ended up injuring the punter and then obviously missing that field goal at that critical moment as well. And he obviously got fired straight after the game. So I have a bit of sympathy for ChatGPT on this.
ChatGPT has been... The results have been mixed. Maybe it does need to pull its digital socks up.
Yeah.
But I think we're burying the lead here, guys, which is how I was put on the spot to pick 5 college games against the spread, and I went 4-1 on those last week. It may be the greatest week of against the spread picks in UK podcast history. Prove me wrong.
Well, you did really well, Benny, to be fair, and we certainly all benefited from that. If you got on Ben's action as well, you will have done too. Fitstairs is, of course, our partner if you're going to have some action. We love the crew at Fitstairs. They're proud sponsors. Are they proud to be sponsoring us, or are we proud that they sponsor us? I'm not sure which way around it is, but one of the things we love about them, the only bookmaker that will double your payout if your winning first touchdown bet goes on to score again in the game. How'd you like them apples? That's only for the regular season. Let's ask Fitstairs what happens in the playoffs. Are they going to triple it? we should suggest that to Fitstairs. Maximum extra payout is £500. Terms apply. 21 plus. Began away dog. You know the drill by now. Just going back to that Titans story for a minute, super quick, and then we'll get down to business. The special teams coach X, like Benny, like Benny's business. The X, Craig Aukerman.
Good name.
Talk about bad day at the office, right? I mean, this guy, looking at Craig's CV here, he has been a coach for 20 plus years, starting in college, moved into the NFL in 2010 with the Broncos. He was at the Jags. He's been at the Titans twice, and he's been with Vrabel the whole ride. Yeah? Special teams coordinator since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Goes off the back of that one meltdown game. I mean, that is a hard knock life. Harsh.
It was a complete and utter meltdown, though. Do you know what I mean, Nat? And it's like, I feel like in the NFL, sometimes they're not, like we always say, they're too trigger happy in the Premier League and in our football. But I think the NFL sometimes, like you can't, especially in such a critical game for them going up against a divisional rival, like that kind of was their season on the line. There's a lot of threats around Vrabel's job.
They were done anyway, weren't they? I guess Vrabel.
Yeah,
guess
they were. So, but... there's threats against Vrabel. Like that is the NFL. I quite like that in the NFL where it's like...
ruthless.
It's just ruthless. And if you make mistakes and you aren't up to the challenge and you mess up on the bigger stage, then like that will cost your job. Like I genuinely think that should be applied a little bit more to the English soccer game. I mean, I have the pain of producing a morning sports radio show which speaks about VAR and refereeing every single day, not because we want to, but because we simply have to because of how horrendous the officiating is. And I think they should just start sacking refs left, right and centre. I'm sorry.
Well, is that all you do? I mean, how do we fix... Let's go off on this tangent for a couple of minutes. Because, oh, you're right. You are in a really good spot. You are. And he's being very self-deprecating. Propo, as many of you know, produces the TalkSport breakfast show, the biggest show in sports radio, right? What would you do? It's been a really dysfunctional year for VAR. And as long-standing American sports fans, I think all three of us were staunch supporters of the introduction of VAR when it came in, and we were in the minority, vocal minority then, for sure. I remember being on Talk Sport on a number of occasions having arguments with football-based sports broadcasters on that very basis, right? But clearly, it's quite hard to defend this season. So how do you fix it? What do you do?
I think you have to get rid of it for now. I think you have to get rid of it for now. No, I think what you do is you keep the goal line tech, and I think you reintroduce the automated offsides they use in the Champions League. So I think you introduce those so you don't spend 4 minutes deciding whether someone's armpit's offside like they seem to do in every single game. I think you then get rid of everything else because at the moment they're just re-refereeing the game. And they're clearly, it's not VAR is not the issue, it's the people implementing it. So what you need to do is you need to retrain and specialize certain people into being able to implement VAR properly, be able to handle it well. Because every time we hear this audio on that ridiculous show with Howard Webb and Michael Owen, all you hear, it just sounds like three teenagers who are like mates sitting playing FIFA, just trying to like make a decision as quickly as possible. They're all calling each other by nicknames. It's like the least professional environment I've ever seen or heard of.
Betty, do you know what the answer is? Podcast.
It literally does sound like this podcast.
Do you know what the answer is, I feel? I think if we hand the reins of VAR to ChatGPT, I think we'd see an altogether different outcome.
Yeah. I'm a Stoke fan. We've had 7 apologies for penalties that we should have had this season in the Championship, and I still wouldn't have VAR. I still wouldn't have it. Refereeing, they need to completely reshape, and it's from a grassroots level. It's a systemic level. Refereeing, just considering that it is what the Premier League is, has just been with that TV deal that's just happened, the richest domestic league in the world, I think arguably the refereeing is nowhere near that level, and it needs to be completely changed from a systemic point, and they need to just start all over again.
That's a great point, because if you both in terms of training, development and career prospects, if you make, and there's so much money in the game, just pay a crazy salary top refs, it would attract so many people to it. And I think in the same way, a lot of really talented young players who don't quite make the cut for whatever reason then look at coaching, I genuinely think it would attract a lot more talent that understands and knows the game and has played the game into those roles. And Benny as well, of course, we both coach at youth grassroots level, kids grassroots level, and it's so impressive to see like a young 16-17 year old reffing a game at that level. But the amount, and I think the leagues we play in are reasonably vanilla compared to other leagues around the country. The amount of crap they get, it's just...
No, it's horrendous. It is horrendous.
Why on earth? And, you know, there's just no incentivization at all. Benny, quickly, what's your take on it all?
Yeah, the thing is, all it's done is, instead of kind of the technology helping, it's just amplified the human errors.
Mm-hmm.
And there are too many cooks in the kitchen. There are people making... like. Referees used to make bad decisions under pressure on the field. Now they're making bad decisions under pressure in the VAR booth. Until you can improve the level of judgment, you're still going to get those things. In NFL officiating, I think the standard has generally been higher, and they have been working in a certain way.
Don't ask Carlson.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it, and I get yeah. I get any issues that people have with the officials, but I'm a lot more confident about NFL officials and replay challenges, etc., being correct in the NFL than I am in the Premier League. We could have all had moments in our careers where it's like, oh God, I really messed that up. But it isn't necessarily scrutinized. It isn't in front of millions and millions of people. No. I don't know. But also I fear that if the idea is, if I get something wrong, I'm done, my career is over. I'm not sure living in fear makes people make better decisions.
I disagree. I think there should be straight after a game, if it isn't like that happens, there should
during
be
the
like
game.
A live.
I think Alan Sugar should come on.
I think there should exactly. There should be some kind of panel mechanic. You vote on or off. The public vote, and you decide if they stay or not. And if they are going to get the flick, I think it should be a little bit like that scene in Jabba the Hutt's palace in Return of the Jedi, where they just get dropped through the floor. Ollie, have you seen Return of the Jedi?
No, of course not. I just laughed a lot there just for that. Yeah.
Every Premier League stadium should have that technology for there to be trapdoors.
Trapdoors,
like they've
in
got
the
money.
Yeah. Just Jabba the Hutt-style trapdoors in every Premier League pitch. The ref goes
I'm
on
not
it,
sure
bam.
If anything sums up the Premier League more than the idea of Jabba the Hutt.
We're about to go really off topic here for a second, but just to go to the Gen X, Gen Z, I watched last Saturday, a really, really old film, Vertigo by Alfred Hitchcock, obviously like a classic, legendary one. They're all a bit dated, the Hitchcocks, aren't they? Let's be honest a little bit with the representation of a male and female relationship. Let's be right.
Yes, of the time, and Hitchcock was a bit like that. Yes.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Is Oz admitting to watching a film that was made before the year 2017?
It's like the '50s, isn't it? It's like 19. Yeah. Vertigo's like 1958, isn't it?
Have you seen North by Northwest?
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask.
Oh,
that's the best.
Oh,
one.
All right. You're going to watch that this Christmas. I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Is there also just blatant sexism in that as well?
A little bit in the kind of old school James Bond vibe, but
okay, yeah
but
fine.
It's brilliant. You'll love it. It's a good Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie, but it's a good one to watch Christmas because it's got a kind of snowy vibe. You know what I'm going to say, Benny, without giving too much away.
Yeah, I don't think there's any snow whatsoever, but I think
there is.
It's just...
Isn't there like a... I've got a feeling they're in some kind of like... lot that towards the end, like in a log cabin-y
I mean, either way, I think it's one of those things, the idea of like with your family, the sofa, food in front of you, watching that film, a classic, a cast iron classic, that is a brilliant thing to watch at Christmas. I 100% agree with that. I'm just not, I don't remember snow. But I mean, snow.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm going to be proved wrong.
Well, yeah, there's kind of, you could, it always reminded me of looking up the house, right? Of the big villain. It always reminds me of a kind of Colorado style. If Cliff Kingsbury lived in the 60s or late 50s and had a house in Colorado, that's what it reminds me of.
I can imagine Cliff Kingsbury getting embroiled in the whole North by Northwest thing. He's there he's there having a meeting with a prospective employer, and then something happens, and I won't spoil the film, but yeah, there we go. Cliff Kingsbury, let's make
that's a cliffhanger,
NFL Benny. Reboot.
let's do it. Hey, listen, let's get down to business. Well, let's go straight into Chiefs Bills, one of the games of the season. Maybe position a different kind of place to where we thought it would be, right? At the start of the season when the schedule was released. Because the Bills, we talked about this with George on the Wednesday show, George on Sports, brilliant debut on the show. Go check that out in the vault. I asked him, is this a must-win game for Buffalo? And despite the Pittsburgh loss last night in Thursday Night Football, which incidentally, Propo, you went on the over for that, was the under the king of Plumpton, the lowest total is it the lowest total ever in the history of the NFL?
So, no, so do you know what it would have been the lowest total was when the Denver Broncos had that wide receiver,
Kendall Hinton
playing quarterback. But I don't think it was the lowest, but it must have been. It's got to be close.
27 or something.
Yeah, it's got to be close.
29.5 was the line, the open, or close, I should say. Propo was all over the over. I was over the Patriots +5, so... That landed, but in relevance to the Chiefs Bills, Steelers lose, maybe opens the door in that wild card race a little bit more. But whichever way you spin that, this is win or bust for the Bills. And it's been given, I guess, extra edge with this extraordinary story that's broken in the last 24 hours around Sean McDermott, right? So Sean McDermott gave a team talk, was it 2019? Yeah, training camp 2019, where he referenced the 9/11 hijackers and praised, or at least remarked on, the cohesion of their coordination to the team, which by all accounts, and this was reported on Thursday and it's kind of broken. So the article was posted on the Substack page of Tyler Dunn, NFL writer. Lot of unnamed sources, right? Let's quote some of this. So this is one of the quotes. Not only was, this is one of the quotes in the when this was published in McDermott in terms of how he answered. Not only was 9/11 a horrific event in our country's history, but a day that I lost a good family friend. As I mentioned to the team then that I regretted and apologized for me not doing a good enough job of communicating my point. I'm going to do the same with the team today. So he drops it in this meeting. Everybody presumably is sitting there thinking, what the fuck is going on? And then apparently an hour later, he came back and apologized to everyone for using that reference. So let's start with the obvious question. At what point did he think this was going to be a good idea to use that as a reference to illustrate his point? Ben, I mean, try and unpick this nonsense.
Yeah, it's like a parody of, if you were writing a comedy of like, oh, here's a coach and he's looking for new and innovative ways to motivate his team and to make these references. Like, he was there talking about, like, he'd ask something like, you know, what sort of obstacles do you think the terrorists faced? And clearly the players were not prepared for this. Like, why would you? And I get that coaches have always got to try different ways to get their players to think about situations.
And grab attention, I guess, as well. It's a good point. So yeah, communicating in in a way they haven't heard before, using analogies or comparisons, parallels they maybe haven't heard before, but also to grab attention. I think that's quite an important point. You see it all the time when you're watching Hard Knocks and the equivalent, right? In meeting rooms, this is human nature. We see this in all the work that we do, and everybody, all the gang at home, the work that you do, I'm sure. People switch off a lot of the time in meetings. When you've got a room of 60 elite athletes who maybe aren't necessarily that keen on sitting down and focusing too much on, for all the talk of, oh, he's always in the film room, they're always, obviously a lot of athletes like that, but a lot of them aren't. A lot of them, you know, find that side of it quite hard to concentrate. You got to try and grab their attention, right? So that's clearly what he was trying to do, I guess. But wow,
he's got our attention.
Use the firefighters at 9/11. There other examples of cohesion in extreme circumstances in the world to utilize rather than this one. And that's us completely ignoring the fact that the Buffalo Bills are the only team that play in New York. So if you really wanted to make it even more insensitive and even more of a representation of a complete and utter lack of self-awareness or / any kind of awareness from Sean McDermott, then that is that. It is honestly one of the most bonkers and horrendous stories I've seen. I just don't understand it. As we discussed already, I've seen a lot of stories in sports, as both of you have, and I don't think I've ever read anything like this.
And I can, if let's say he'd done it about the SEAL team that went in and like killed Osama bin Laden, right?
Yeah.
And talked about the way that team was kind of put together and the tactics they had to have and all this sort of stuff. I'd feel like it's a little bit insensitive. You know, those are people risking their lives and, you know, people died, et cetera, et cetera. I feel a little bit insensitive. And if I'm there thinking like that would be insensitive, then this, when so many innocent people lost their lives, like you say, the only one in the state of New York, it just seems wild. And I mean,
this is Buffalo's head coach and you don't know the room. Like, you know the players kind of, some more than others, but you don't know a lot about their history. It's bizarre. And look, everybody makes mistakes, and look, let's not overplay the side that, like, McDermott clearly was contrite, like within an hour of delivering, he thought, shit, this, okay, I misjudged this. And we don't want to overblow it, but it is a curious decision for somebody who is the head coach of an NFL team and responsible for leading all of his personnel. It's the fact that he thought, yeah, even if he didn't run it by any of his coaching staff or any of his, I got this. Just wait to see what I'd come up with today.
But like, also, sometimes leaders in all organizations can end up surrounded by people who don't want to challenge them on things, and it's always a bad situation. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if he went to the assistants, spoke to the coordinators and said, this is what I'm going to do. And people thought, oh, this is a terrible idea. But they went, okay. Yeah, sounds great. I don't know if that's the situation. But if that was it, then that's really bad. But the fact that he was contrite within an hour suggests that perhaps he caught another coach off guard, or somebody said something afterwards and was like, do you know what? I think that was a bad idea.
I think one player in particular said, like, obviously, yeah, what the fuck was going on there? All right. Well, let's bring this, because we've got a lot of ground to cover today. Let's bring this to the game this weekend. So the Chiefs, I think their struggles are being overhyped a little bit. They're one MVS drop from being tied for first in terms of record anyway in the AFC. I don't know if that would have put them back to number one seed, but you get my point. On paper, when I first thought about this game, I thought, yeah, I like the Chiefs in this spot a lot, because I think that even though a few problems the last couple of weeks, we know their defense has been rolling for much of the season, and they started to get their ground game going. The Bills are ranked 20th in defensive, run D, I should say, not overall defensive DVOA, but run D. And we know why that's been a problem for them this season. We talked about it a lot with the injuries in the middle. And Pacheco is running hard now. Like, he is a baller, but banged up shoulder. He's missed two straight days of practice as well. So I thought, as far as awareness up, I like the Chiefs in this spot. I think they're going to be able to establish a ground game. And when the Chiefs can do that, usually they're in business. But I'm not so sure now. And I think this, for me, if I'm going to have any action on it, Pacheco's good to go. And he is one of the hardest men in the business, it seems, right? So I reckon he's going to be aiming to roll however bad the shoulder is. But if there's any doubt, I think that Pacheco's not ready to roll, I might just steer clear of it. If he's going, I'm on the Chiefs here.
Yeah, I think, there's only one thing I can do in this spot. And this is like one of my favorite trends, which is just backing Mahomes in these kinds of situations. Yeah. Like, when he is a favorite of less than three, or he's an underdog, he's 27-1 against the spread. Wow. And also, people are like, I think a lot of people are, the narratives that I see to be hearing and everyone's pushing at the minute is like, this is a must-win game for the Buffalo Bills. Mm. The Buffalo Bills are so much better than their record suggests. Yeah, they are better than their record suggests. But I think Josh Allen's better than their record suggests. They've had some complete and utter meltdowns when it comes to coaching. They've had some complete and utter meltdowns when it comes to defense. And yes, the Chiefs lost to the Packers in one of the most watched games that you have weekly, which is Monday Night Football, of course. So it means the whole of the public saw that. And yeah, I think everyone's now buying into, as you said, that this idea that the Chiefs definitely aren't the same team that they have been in previous years. I mean, Mahomes has already had the same amount of drops this season that he had in the whole of the entire last season from his wide receivers.
Wow, but that's a crazy number.
Yeah, but Patrick Mahomes, these are the exact spots that I'll always take Patrick Mahomes. When he's played five games where he's thrown an interception and 225 passing yards or fewer in his last game. And off the back of that, the Chiefs are 5-0 straight up and 5-0 against the spread, covering the spread by 13.5 points per game. Like, Mahomes, he doesn't play badly week on week. He doesn't go through bad runs. And especially in a game, Arrowhead going up against one of his rivals in Josh Allen in the Buffalo Bills. We've seen some absolute classics between these two teams in years gone by. I don't expect it just to be one of those games where this is a get-right spot for the Bills. They have to win. So that means they're going to go and win because they've got Josh Allen, because they've got Stephon Diggs. From a matchup perspective, I like this for the Chiefs. You've already mentioned the run game, Nat. But also, without Matt Milano, Travis Kelce is likely going to have a big game. That's a little hint at my prop bet. But taking away Matt Milano, he's the quarterback for the defense for the Buffalo Bills. We know that. And we know that their defense hasn't been the same since he's been out. And as a result of that, you're giving me Patrick Mahomes as less than a field goal favorite at home. Most of the time now, I don't really care who the opposition are, because it's just, if Patrick Mahomes is the last one to have the ball, I'm pretty sure they're going to win that game. And if you're giving me -1.5, I'm pretty sure they're going to cover that spread.
Betty?
Yeah, it comes down to Patrick Mahomes. Now, you've already talked about the drops. The receivers in Kansas City have been a weak spot. And yet, the Chiefs still winning games. I said the other week about, like, an elite an elite quarterback is someone who you can put on a bad team and they start winning games. The Chiefs are not a bad team. But if you took Mahomes off this team, then this probably could become a bad team. Defensively, sure. they've had problems and they've been banged up. They've been so frustrating to watch because they're such a fun team in previous seasons. I started the week thinking the Bills were going to win this. I felt that coming off the bye, they've been good off the bye under McDermott. The Chiefs haven't been impressive. The Bills really need to win. But the Bills just aren't playing well. And Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned. The spread is ridiculous. I hate saying this. I disagree with pretty much nothing that Ollie has said. Usually, I'm mentally picking holes in it, and I'm politely being quiet. But that's why I'm struggling so much right now, because everything that wants to come out of my mouth is basically everything you've just heard from Ollie. Mahomes is the best player in the game. If that's the spread, then I have to go Chiefs.
Okay. So are either of you taking this as your lock?
No.
Okay. I think we should make this ChatGPT's pick, right? So Benny, do the honors on that because you're the closest ChatGPT. While Benny's working that out, incidentally, we're going to be dropping our FFS team a little bit later on in the show. That is our show team we enter into our daily fantasy listener league. You can win all kinds of prizes. Our friends at USA Sports give away merch. There's a league to enter there. DraftKings cash prizes for free to enter leagues. You just pick a team, salary cap. Every week you enter a team into the league. And off you go. So go get involved with that. The link's in the show notes. We're going to pick our show team. I'm in the chair this week. So I'll be getting that set in a bit. Proper. Why don't we, while Ben's working out ChatGPT's Drew Lock, why don't we go to your Drew Lock of the week?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily completely convinced that I know which one I want right now, just because there's a couple of different things I'm looking at.
Do you want a minute to decide?
Well, I'll be interested to see what your game is, but it's a game that I want to talk about in depth, and I could take either of these two picks realistically this game. The Los Angeles Rams against the Ravens. The Rams were your best bet last week, Nat, covering against the Cleveland Browns.
Do you like them to cover again?
I like them to cover again going to Baltimore Ravens. Like, I think 7.5 points is simply too many. Yeah, yes, the Baltimore Ravens are one of the best teams in the NFL, but the Los Angeles Rams, they're the exact kind of backdoor cover team that you dream of because of what their offense can do, because they've now got a run game with Williams, and because of their wide receivers, Matthew Stafford, and their offensive line is playing well, and it matches up quite well against the Baltimore Ravens' strong defensive line. We're actually seeing the Rams have a decent offensive line for the first time in years, which makes a massive impact. And when they're going up against the Baltimore Ravens side, that, yes, has been incredibly clinical this season, and of course Lamar's playing really well. He's got the likes of Zay Flowers playing really well with OBJ. They don't have Mark Andrews, though. I don't see this Baltimore Ravens team being, they will destroy a team that doesn't have anything going for them on offense, but going up against a Rams team that can hang in games, that Stafford can make plays, their receivers can make plays, I don't see it being a complete and utter blowout. And I just simply think this number's too much, really. I think it's just way too big. I don't think the Rams are getting enough respect in this situation. And I think the Ravens are being slightly overestimated off the back of obviously not playing last week. So I like the Rams at 7.5. The only issue I have, Nat, with this, because the other pick in this I really like is the over, which is at 40, because of that situation. I think the Rams will be able to put up points, and I think the Ravens will be able to put up points on this Rams defense. I think Lamar can have a field day. You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
When the lights are shining on.
No. Wrong moment. Those are my prop bets now.
Ah, sorry, man.
Weather.
What's it saying?
Definite rain showers and 22 mile an hour winds.
Ooh,
It's not too bad, and I still expect Stafford to throw the ball. I still expect the Ravens to be able to have success as well going forward, moving the ball. 40 is just really low for these
40
two teams.
40 is low. I mean,
So I think I'm still going to stick with it. Those two I'm tempted to go with. The weather's the only thing that's really affecting me taking this as my Drew Lock, because I really like the Rams and I really like the over. But both of those picks could be completely and utterly ruined if it's just pouring down and it's a thunderstorm, because that just fits Ravens football, you know, where they can just run it down your throat and it could just get away from the Rams very quickly and Stafford could get injured. All of those different things can kind of come into play if there is cataclysmic weather. So, yeah, at this moment in time, not going to necessarily lock it in as my Drew Lock, but I do like those two plays. So if you see the weather on Sunday, wait till we make those bets. If it's looking all right, make these plays.
Love that. Incidentally, on Sunday, I'm going to plug in for TalkSport 2's coverage. So we're on a little bit later than normal. 49ers Seahawks is our live game. So we're going to be doing that 49ers Hawks game live on TalkSport 2 from, I think, right now from about 8:30. So join us after the cricket for that. Right. Benny, have you got ChatGPT picked?
So if for everyone listening to this, if you're walking the dog, you're out for a run, you need to now sit down. I'm not going to be held responsible for you collapsing as you walk along hearing ChatGPT's prediction for this game.
It says it's Bills Chiefs.
Yep.
What's ChatGPT saying?
All right. Okay. They've given me a lot of information here. In a thrilling showdown between these two gridiron giants, the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills are set to clash in an epic battle on the field. As the game kicks off, both teams bring their A game, showcasing the incredible passes, jaw-dropping runs, and mind-blowing touchdowns.
It's like AZ Central's back. We got literally the paywall.
but here's a twist. Mm. In a surprising turn of events, as the clock winds down to the final moments of the game, a playful streak takes over the players. Suddenly, the quarterbacks decide to switch roles for a series of downs,
what have you been doing here? I don't think ChatGPT just came up with it.
I swear.
That's amazing.
Leading to hilarious chaos as Patrick Mahomes lines up as a wide receiver while Josh Allen takes the snap.
What?
The crowd goes wild as Mahomes makes an unbelievable, makes an unbelievable catch for a first down, and Allen shows off his cannon arm with an unexpected touchdown pass. Cheerleaders and mascots join in on the fun, engaging in an impromptu dance-off on the sidelines.
Ben, okay, do you swear down that you didn't add any points?
What did you put into ChatGPT, Ben? Right. Read it out.
Here's what I've been finding recently. If I ask them to make a prediction, they won't do it. If I say do it just for fun, they'll give me a prediction.
They take just for fun, literally.
So they've said 38-38 at the end of regulation.
Bloody hell. I mean, it's possible.
With the Chiefs winning in overtime.
Oh, I might take that. I might take that.
Well, you're going to take that because Mahomes is lining up as a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly.
Yeah, for that exact insight.
And clearly, ChatGPT's been taking mushrooms since we were on the show last week. All right. By the way, I mentioned George in the Wednesday show. I asked George, if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, which one of the NC show crew is most likely to get an interview with Taylor Swift? Right? I gave him the option. George didn't even blink, said me. Just want to throw that out there. You both given us an option, I and Mike as well. Just straight away said me. Just, I don't know how you feel about that. Just want to let that.
It would be Mike. I think we all know it'd be Mike.
It would actually be Mike.
Yeah, he's a charmer.
And it would be must watch. Mike and Taylor Swift.
By the authorities.
All right, I'm going to go on to my Drew Lock of the week, if that's all right. Because, you said there's another game you're looking at and you're kind of wearing that, right? I'm going for the Packers to cover against the Giants, which I know is maybe the prototype of a trap game. Propo is probably going to tell me that all the sharps are on the Giants. Giants off a bye.
Yeah.
The Giants.
Packers, it's the highest stock the Packers will ever have this season. They've just beaten the Chiefs in prime time. Yeah. Like, they're never going to get them at a higher point.
The Detroit Thanksgiving game, the three in a row, of course, the Chargers before that. But they're on a roll, right? This number interested me. So, after not posting more than 20 points since their first two games of the year, they're now 23 or more in the last three. Mm-hmm. And it's against the teams they're playing, right? Chargers, all right. But in Detroit and Kansas City, two Super Bowl contenders. We've got to call them both that. They are both Super Bowl contenders. You off the bye, the Giants. Also, you can run on the Packers. Of course, that's a risk. Oh, check the weather for me while I'm spieling it, because I haven't actually done that. But Saquon, clear. Top six in the NFL, we're clear. Good, all right. And the Packers have allowed, they're in the bottom three or four, I think, for rushing yards. So, yeah, sure. And with DeVito, because DeVito is studying. What do you think about that call? So, because obviously Tyrod Taylor's coming back from that rib injury. A lot of eyebrows raised about this. There was an interesting quote from Darius Slayton, the receiver. Some reporter asked him about the difference between the two, right, quarterbacks. And he said, DeVito's done a good job of finding his way quickly, but it's impossible to close a gap of 12 years. I think DeVito's done a great job. Tyrod's a professional. So he kind of leveled out and went all diplomatic. But he's basically saying, why is this rookie when we got Tyrod? Now, maybe Slayton's tight with Tyrod. I mean, Tyrod's been, you know, there for a while. And you kind of get that the factions are built. But it does seem strange that they're rolling with DeVito because they can't, Ben, they can't possibly see him as a future, can they?
No, but I think they want to see as much as they can. And if you're going to lose the games, you may as well lose them and learn something from it as well. Like maybe this guy's going to be a backup. And if they keep losing, then they'll be drafting a quarterback anyway. I don't think there's... like, they're not making the playoffs, right? We're confident of that. Mm-hmm. So there's no need to put Tyrod Taylor in. Like, what do you gain from that? Maybe you win a couple more games than you do with DeVito. But what does that get you? Absolutely nothing. It gets you a worse draft pick. I'm not saying they're tanking, but there's no point just like putting in veterans who we know enough about. They may as well learn something and lose.
Mm. I guess so. And I like the DeVito story. It's great, right? I mean, it's a lot of fun, and he's grabbed the opportunity with both hands. But yeah, I thought it was a bit of a head scratcher. But he is going to line up anyway against the pack. And we talked about the pack can be run on. Well, the Giants 26 defensive DVOA. This offense is in rhythm now. We've talked about the improvement of Jordan Love in the space of about 5 weeks from, are we sure about this guy, to, yeah, he's off. He's definitely our quarterback next season. I think that's where that narrative has gone. And the Packers are very much in the playoff mix now with their record. So I think it's a comfortable win. I certainly think they cover the line. I know it's a trap game. I get all of that. But I think this will be straightforward enough for the Packers to cover. I'd take them even if it goes up to 6.5 at the moment, right? Oh?
6.5 at the moment, yeah.
I'd probably take even the magic number 7. I'd probably take them a little bit higher, a little tick or something higher. But definitely Drew Lock of the week, 6.5.
Ben, you must be, as a Bears fan, you must be so relieved and just so happy for all of the Packers fans. Like, God, they had to go 10 games without a quarterback.
Jordan Love, I'm still not totally convinced. When I say totally convinced. No, okay, let me explain. When I say not totally convinced, not that, oh, I don't think he's an NFL starter. I'm just not going to base his career on a few games. I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, oh, we can ignore the bad games and let's just look at the good games. Has he proved that he can be a starter in this league? Yeah, I think so. Has he proved that he's going to be an elite quarterback in this league? Absolutely not. And the Packers were lucky enough to go from two elite future Hall of Famers by the time they, you know, hung up their cleats in Favre and Rodgers. He's obviously not following in that lineage. I'm saying obviously, but he obviously isn't. But he's the quarterback situation in the NFC North is a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had to bet who out of all the teams right now in the NFC North, which quarterback was most likely to be starting for that team in 5 years' time, I think you'd say Jordan Love, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. I think you would.
So, you know, and that counts for something. I think you're right, though. I think the Packers should win this one comfortably.
I'm worried. Ben, I appreciate your endorsement. As we established at the top of the show, you are the hot hand on the show right now with Drew Lock. I'm a little bit worried that when I make a pick and Ollie does that Ollie smile, smirk, like he knows something I don't. Oh, tell me if I...
No, but I don't. But to be honest with you, like years gone by, like this would be a square pick. It is a square pick at the end of the day. Like the money's just going to fly in on Green Bay. Who's going to bet the New York Giants in this situation? As you said, Thanksgiving game against the Lions and then beating the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Like you can't get two more public viewings of like dominance than that, especially
that's
like...
That's why I'm surprised it's under 7.
Because the bookies are laying it as a trap, aren't they? Bookies are laying it as a trap. It's also the Giants off a bye. It's at home. It's in prime time. But at the same time, this year the public have been cleaning up. Like trap games haven't really been traps as much. Favorites are winning at a record rate. Usually it's always about the dogs, it's always about the divisional dogs, but this year it seems to have completely flipped, and the bookies have been taking an absolute battering by the public money. The public money is what's winning the majority of bets. The pros aren't necessarily having that good of a year because they usually take the Jets. They'll take the Jets the majority of the time. They'll be taking the Patriots the majority of the time. They'll be taking all of these ugly teams. But because of the standard quarterback play, because it's so low, these teams haven't been able to compete whatsoever. Yes, we saw it last night, the Patriots going up against the Steelers, but the Steelers are a poor team in and of themselves. So yes, like years gone by, now I'd be laughing at you and calling this a square pick. But this season, and this is why I probably argue I've struggled a little bit this year is in terms of picking sides is because it hasn't been that obvious where you're looking at, oh, the public are overestimating this situation because of what we saw last week, and I can take advantage of that. That hasn't been the case. Teams like the Packers will, and going up against a team like the Giants, as you said, who have got DeVito as quarterback, it might just be as easy as going, do you know what? The Packers are playing really well at the minute and the New York Giants are playing really badly at the minute with a bad quarterback. The Green Bay Packers should win this game comfortably. Like, it might be as simple as that. Whereas years gone by, it's the NFL. There's always bizarre things going on and it's never as simple as that. This year, it kind of has been as simple as that.
Yeah, fair point. Okay, all right. Well, that's my look. We've got ChatGPTs. What about you two fellas? Who's going to go first? Ben?
Yeah, let me go. Now, I've been criticized by Ollie in the past where, I mean, there was a point where when I used to be making the picks on TalkSport, he would complain. He said, you're just picking the teams you think are going to win.
Which your favorites.
The teams I think are going to win.
That's
classic. And when I was doing that, I was winning quite comfortably on that picks competition. Mm. And the other day, or the other
week,
that
just reminds me, sorry, Ben, of that great Brendan Burns line. Brendan Burns, brilliant stand-up, one of the great stand-ups of his generation, crazily underrated. Brendan Burns said that he got heckled once with somebody saying, you're just on stage talking about stuff that you thought about and written down before the show. That's literally what stand-up comedy is. Unbelievable.
Ollie had said to me, oh, are you just going to pick against the Panthers each week because they're the worst team in the NFL? And I have not done that each week, but I'm doing it this week because they're the worst team in the NFL. And I think the Saints are going to be absolutely fine in this game.
I like
now,
this pick. I like
it. I hate it.
And I don't think this is a get right game for the Saints because I don't think the Saints are going to get right. They're not good. But five and a half points, whatever it is, they're going to win. They're going to win by a touchdown. Like, they're at home. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is going to be, even if it's not Carr, Jameis Winston. I would say this game is going to be the fastest one done out of the early kickoffs. There's not going to be many passes thrown. I think it's going to be run, run, run. It's going to be low scoring. The Saints are going to win by at least a touchdown. These Panthers are just horrible, and the Saints will feel like, well, we can still make the playoff, which they can, and they're fighting to save their coach's job. I think they're going to win it.
Job all season, they are the worst red zone offense I've ever seen.
Yeah.
If this pick wins, then it literally is. But everything that I just said before this is completely and utterly correct.
It is the Panthers. I mean, we know that is the worst team in the NFL.
It's the Saints. The Panthers surely have to be good enough, or at least competent enough, to not lose comfortably to a New Orleans Saints team that beats themselves week in, week out. Like, but they are embarrassing.
Define comfortable. If I'm saying they're going to win by a touchdown, is that comfortable? That's still a one-score game.
What's going to happen? You know what's going to happen in this? They're going to score just some meaningless last-minute field goal to cover, like, the spread, and it's just going to be like a 6-point, and you're just covering again.
My dream is it's 6-0. It ends 6-0.
It's 6-0, and it could end 6-0. But it's just this goes against everything that I believe in when it comes to sports gambling, because it is just like, who are the Saints to be really laying 5.5 points against any other professional team?
I don't know. I think they're obviously not a good team, but there's just enough about them against this Panthers side, and it looks like Carr's going to start. If Winston was starting, I'd be obviously much more worried about it, but
he's just going to hand the ball off to Kamara anyway.
Exactly. I think Kamara has a big game against him. Taysom Hill's injury doubt as well. All he's got Ben, I'm with you.
Let me make one announcement though, right? Because I've done poorly in the DraftKings league, and I've not been winning money for shelter, right?
Yeah, okay.
So look, for all those people who've been following my picks raking in the dough because they've been following my Drew Locks, consider giving a little bit of money to shelter to make up for my poor DFS performance. That's the show charity. Please, if this one comes in and you bet on it, give shelter a couple of quid.
I'm okay, doing the opposite. I've to make up for all of the people that I'm losing money for if they're following my Drew Locks, I'm winning money on DraftKings and donating that to Shelter. So I'm literally doing the direct opposite.
The other way around. Perfect. Well, let's remind ourselves of the numbers, actually, the tally. So I think, am I above 500 now with the Rams pick? I think.
You're 7-6.
7-6.
You're Benny, 7-6, and I'm 6-7.
You're 6-7. Okay.
Yeah. And then Ben is 6-1.
ChatGPT
is
like 3-3.
No, it's like 3-4 now,
ooh,
I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, ChatGPT is sliding.
He's tilting. Okay.
I now need, after just completely criticizing Ben and his pick, even though I am sure it will cover because of Ben's form right now, I have more faith in Ben than I do in the New Orleans Saints, that's for sure. but Ben, I think I would be going with the Rams. I would be going with the over in this game but the weather scares me and it makes it hard to make a Drew Lock because it could change so much by Sunday and it could be completely horrendous. I was tempted by the over in the Colts-Bengals game because of Jake Browning's performance, obviously, and how impressive he was against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
But happy with that one.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that. There's a funny, I saw a funny record watch, which is everyone's, one of the most underplayed narratives going into this week is that Jake Browning's only 88,165 yards away from the all-time passing yards record against Tom Brady, and he could break that this Sunday, and no one's really talking about it. So I saw that. Yeah, it's a great point. No one's really talking about it enough. I was really impressed, but as will we discuss on the show all the time, backup quarterbacks, there can be, we can, week on, week off, very, like, there's a reason why they're backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I like the team total for the Colts in that. I think the Bengals defense has really been struggling this season without Cam Taylor-Britt in the secondary. I think Gardner Minshew should be able to exploit the backfield for the Cincinnati Bengals. So I like the team total for the Colts in that. Ben, I'm going to take the Bears +3.5 against the Lions at home.
Do you know what? Right.
You are both kidding me.
No. I'm not saying I necessarily agree, right? But I've seen a lot of the Lions this season, and the Lions over the last month have not been the same team that they were earlier in the season. They were given when they played the Bears a few weeks back. They were given that game. The Bears somehow lost it. Weird thing is as well, the Bears really threw away that game and really threw away the game against Denver, which somehow they lost. If they'd won those, they were 500. This is not a 500 level team, which just shows you how bad the NFL is this year.
But the defense is playing well, don't you think? Justin Fields is now essentially playing for his job and they're letting him run the ball again, which I think is huge. And DJ Moore is the kind of wide receiver that could completely torch this line secondary. And Cole Kmet, they don't struggle against tight ends. Cole Kmet and DJ Moore are the two major weapons for this Bears team. And they both match up so well against the Lions.
Just a few weeks ago, the Bears completely outplayed the Lions in Detroit and somehow lost it because they completely changed their play calling in the last 5 minutes to be like, oh, now we're scared, now we're winning. And the Lions were able to just do what they wanted. I don't hate the pick. It's not one that I would personally make. This is one I would stay away from because that line, it tempts me a little bit. It tempts me a little bit for the Bears. So I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think I'm just taking it because I think, again, divisional underdog at home. We saw these teams play a couple of weeks ago and it was very close. As you said, the Bears could have won that game. So if you're there going to hand me 3.5 points above a field goal going into this, I'm going to take it. The weather seems to be fine, but I think that Justin Fields can have a big game. As I said, I think Justin Fields is essentially playing for his NFL career at this moment in time. And he's the kind of guy, as Ben will attest to, who, like, in history, when it comes down to, like, those critical moments, usually delivers.
Are you worried? It feels ran all over them in the last game, right? And yet, since the injury, that had nothing going in the passing game, right, Ben? So, are you not worried that they're just 2-1-trick pony? The Lions will shut that down, and they won't be able to execute a plan B.
But they couldn't shut it down a few weeks ago. They only shut it down once the Bears just started doing inside handoffs right up the gut to run down the clock with like 7 minutes to go. Like, it's
interesting. The Lions was my runner up in Drew Lock, so I'm totally opposed to this. I like Detroit in this spot. I think they'll win it.
But the last two games the Bears have had, they've had 7 interceptions. The defense, Goff's a turnover machine right now. Like this, I think people are underestimating this Chicago Bears defense. They stopped the Jared Goff run of just incredible performances. They stopped the Josh Dobbs mania. Like, I think this Bears team is being slightly underappreciated. And like, it's not like Justin Fields is, everyone's thinking about early season Justin Fields. Like, Ben is still a big Justin Fields fan. We'll still stick with him to a certain extent. Yes, we've seen a weaker year, but I still think that this Bears team is better than people are giving them credit for.
All right, I mean, we're going to break.
I would agree. And I'm going to say, Montez Sweat has changed that defense far more than I thought.
Oh, that noise you can hear is Jack Del Rio just weeping into his whiskey at the Del Rio's bar that is going to be open very, very soon. Just finishing. He's picking out the color scheme and the wallpaper, and it's going to be open before Christmas. We're going to break. When we come back, we're going to have our Moneyline Acca. Ben's on duty for the Peterman Parlay. Thank God. Propos prop bets of the week as well. And then our FFS team of the week. So stay with us here on the NC Show. Welcome back to Fitzdez Edge Rush. The NC Show, you are locked in. We are week 14? Week 14.
Week 14.
Week 14, we have made our Drew Docs, all four of us. That is me, Benny, Propo, and of course, ChatGPT. Time for our Peterman Parlay, which Ben is going to take the reins for. Now, Ben, of course, these are three underdog picks all rolled together in a three-team parlay. What are you saying? What do you know?
This is a tough one. So here are some underdogs that I like. I like the Eagles against the Cowboys. They're, I think, a 3.5-point underdog. Nice. which I think is harsh.
Even with that, you're not worried about Hurts' injury at all?
Oh, I am worried. Yeah. But I still think it's harsh.
Okay.
I think, and this feels like I could be completely gone off the deep end here. I like the Seahawks to cover against the 49ers. They're 10.5 point underdogs. I don't think they're going to win.
Yeah.
But I think they could make that a little bit closer.
Yeah, I like that.
And I'm tempted by the Raiders. They're giving up 3 at home to Minnesota, and you know, I don't fully trust the Vikings. I was starting to believe in them a few weeks ago. I don't trust the Raiders either, but I don't fully trust that line. So those are my three. I can't say I feel super confident.
No, but that's the Peterman Parlay. I'm actually really,
that's it.
Ben, I'm really proud of you. That is really ugly. Like, that's like, that is, I don't think you had that kind of, those kind of picks in
ugly.
Yeah, like those are really, really ugly. Yeah. I'm impressed, Ben. I'm impressed.
I'm usually a finesse pick guy.
But
I got to get down and dirty, I can do it.
I'm impressed.
Propo might suggest that you might want to put the Rams in instead of one of those, I guess, if you like the Rams to cover against the Ravens. But either way, we're going to go with a hot hand. Ben Isaac's hot hand. So that's about just shy of 6-1 over on Fitstairs. If you want to have some action there with our partners, Fitstairs, of course, the link is in the show notes. Fitstairs, if you have a pick that you can't see on Fitstairs, prop bet in particular, just reach out to the live chat. They will price it up for you. Propos, prop bets coming next. Which way are we looking, bud?
So again, going off my Drew Lock, I think this number's way too low. Justin Fields over 10.5 rushing attempts. Like, I don't think that they're taking into account that they're going back to basics with Justin Fields and letting him run the ball as much as he was sort of last season. Earlier on, everyone's getting frustrated with how little he was running the ball. I think they've gone back to basics with it. His last two games, he's had 18 and 12 carries. He's back to doing what he does best. So over 10.5, I think, is simply too low going up against this Lions team in a must-win game for the Bears. And also, divisional game, and I've said it before, he's essentially playing for his job. The next one is, I've actually got two picks for when the lights are bright, the stars will shine.
Oh,
I got taken down on Twitter for this by someone who said, how does it apply? I can't remember what their name is, but there was a comment and said, how does this work when it's the Vikings versus the Bears? Which I agreed with to a certain extent, because there are no stars, so the lights can't shine. But Travis Kelce over 6.5 receptions. I spoke about it earlier. Matt Milano out. Mm. That's pretty much the only reason why I'm taking this. Patrick Mahomes, been suffering with drops all season long. In a critical game like this, going up against the Bills, he's going to go back to basics with Travis Kelce. So I like this one. And then the other one, it goes against your Drew Lock nap, but I think this is purely based on the fact that he is the Giants offense. I like Saquon Barkley over 93.5 rushing and receiving yards combined. I just think that if they're going to get anything going in this game, it's going to be Saquon Barkley. The Packers slightly weaker at stopping the run than they are stopping the pass. And I think that they're just going to give the ball to Barkley as much as they can. Packers, one of the weakest teams when it comes to tackling. They miss more tackles than most teams in the NFL. And I think that lends its hand to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley hasn't had many opportunities to shine in this league so far. And I think he's actually gone under the radar with how well he's played, considering he had a slightly poor season last year. And I think that this is all about Saquon Barkley if the Giants can be able to get anything going in this game. So I like him to go over 93.5 rushing and receiving yards combined.
Love that. Those are Promos Prop Bets. Right, we better rattle on because we've got to pick our Moneyline Treble and then our DraftKings Team of the Week for our Listener League. So what are we looking at for the Moneyline Treble? Propo, have you put a treble together or are we going to decide it now?
I think we decide it now together. Right. I think in terms of... It's a difficult one. I'd say I was just looking at it. This is actually a little bit more difficult than I was thinking. I mean, you can put the Green Bay Packers in there straight up. I don't know how the New York Giants come away with a victory.
Yeah.
In this one, I don't think you're going to get any juice off the Dolphins because they're 13-point favorites.
8-1 on. What about the Cowboys straight up? I know Benny likes the...
I like the Cowboys straight up. Yeah, I'll be honest. I like the Cowboys straight up.
How do
Ben
we feel
disagree.
About Cowboys, Packers, Chiefs, Treble?
Oh, I was going to say Chargers.
Ooh, you want to go Chargers? Well, Benny, you are.
Ben, that is ugly, Ben. Like,
know,
I'm
I
proud
know.
Of
like
you.
That. I don't like that. I
am
like
proud
Chargers,
of you, Ben. I like it can, just because of how ugly that is.
I got turned last week by the 6-0 win.
Yeah.
And we're recording the video for this. And by the way, our YouTube channel, The NC Show, go over there and subscribe to us. You'll get all the videos just dropped in automatically. When we're recording the video, I'm not having any peace that you guys can record the Moneyline Treble video. I'm officially washing my hands of that treble because I like the Broncos in that spot. But no, in all seriousness, that is good. That is a, two and change to one. That
so hold on. What is it?
The Chargers, the Cowboys, and the Packers.
Oh, geez. That is a risk. If that comes off, then yeah, pretty impressive, but that's tough.
Yeah, that is tough. If you want to take the Chargers out and put the 49ers in, that's evens, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't we do that then?
Should we do that? Okay, yeah. All right. I'm on board. Sorry, Benny. It was a good idea.
That, no, it's fine.
Cowboys and Giants. Yeah, and Packers. Yeah, I like that. All right, done. That is our Monday Night Treble. Right. Let's wrap up the show with our DraftKings Team of the Week. Now, I'm in the seat here, but you feel free to veto any of these picks if you want. Some of these names have come up already, right? In terms of the games we talked about or players we talked about, leading off with, how did I refer to him? The turnover machine that is Jared Goff is my quarterback. No, but I like, because then I like Detroit comfortably in this spot, and I think he's going to get back in the groove. I think the Lions offense will as well. I like Detroit in this spot. For 6-4, because I'm spending money elsewhere, Jared Goff is my quarterback against Chicago. Now, we also mentioned Alvin Kamara, 2 touchdowns last week. I think he hits the red zone again against Carolina. Ben loves the Saints in this spot, right? So do I. Propo's disgusted with that. But 8-2, Kamara all the way.
Bargain.
Racking up a lot of fantasy points. Thank you very much. Bijan Robinson, Tampa Bay in Atlanta. I mean, God knows what's going to happen with the South, but I kind of feel that Bijan is a player that could determine that by having a late season role. And I think he can pick up some change even against this tough old Tampa Bay ground game. But I think Atlanta are going to lean on the rock quite a lot. Tyler Lockett at 5-6 is just that dice roll, right? And if Ben thinks the Seahawks can keep it, you know, within the spread, Lockett, as we know, is just a fantasy roll of the dice, high ceiling, 5-6, boom or bust kind of player. And I need a few of those. I've gone for Rashee Rice as one of my other receivers. We figure there's going to be a fair amount of points. Oh, I know you were saying maybe the under is the play in the Buffalo-Kansas City game. But Rice at 5-4, Mahomes, well, he looks to take Kelce out of it. And he looks to one of 14 receivers every week. But Rice seems to be amongst his favorites. And I like the scoring threat there. Speaking of favorite receivers, Cortland Sutton. I mean, this is just Russ's go-to guy, right? And even though Ben thinks the Chargers are going to take the Broncos, 6-1, Sutton. Opposition ranked 27th in the Chargers in fantasy points terms. So like that. How do we feel about K. Dotton at 3,100, fellas?
I don't mind that. I think if there's going to be any opportunity for offense in that game, I do like the receivers because I think the secondaries are definitely weaker than the run defenses in that. So, yeah, I don't mind K-Dot in there at all.
K-Dot,
at that price, especially.
Exactly. I thought that was a bit of a steal. And Devin Singletary, you know, one of my favorite players that I want to see push onto the top level. And he's starting to get some stuff rolling with Houston. I think with their injuries in the receiving core as well, up against a tough Jets D, it's a tough out. I think Singletary could make some hay against the Jets. 5'7" for Singletary. That felt like decent value as well. And it left me $3,000 for the Cleveland Browns defense up against CJ Beathard, probably, right? I mean, come on, that's a decent number for the Browns as well. So there you go. Just to recap, Goff, Kamara, Robinson, Lockett, Rice, Sutton, Otten, Singletary, and the Browns defense. I'm submitting it. Any money we make goes to shelter. Any money you make, well, goes to whatever you want it to go to. There we go. Into the NC Show Listener League. All the cash. We never enter the USA Sports one, do we? Because we don't want the merch. We want the merch to go elsewhere. That one always gets filled up quickly. So you got to get in early. If you click on the links, you'll automatically subscribe to the league, and then you'll get notifications of the contests as and when they go live. Because I think a few of you will be messaging saying, oh, the USA Sports League is always full. Well, you got to get in early, like Propo does with his bets, right? Always gets in on Monday and takes a look at it. So that's the way to play it. How confident are we feeling about the team, fellas?
Reasonably. I've realized my judgment on these things is perhaps not to be trusted.
Yeah,
I'm that guy who really enjoys playing DFS each week and does really badly at it each week. But each week, because each week's a fresh start, yeah, I can have that blank slate, which is what I like about
it. The hope that kills us. Right, we're going to get out of Dodge. We will be back Monday, me and I and Mike. Asmir Begovic on the show next week. Looking forward to Asmir, as I know you are, Propo, as the Stoke City fan.
No, he's been vetoed because they beat us last week.
Ah, right. Is he not coming on the show then?
No, he's not allowed on the show. No, he will come on the show, but I'm going to mute him. Any mention of QPR or Stoke is muted.
Oh, I'm going to stoke that up. See what I did there?
Stoke are in a crisis. I mean, let's not. That's a whole other podcast. I don't want to get started.
Well, I want an off-season Stoke crisis podcast with Propo. So Asmir's around. We're back, of course, next week as well. For more Edge Rush FFS, if you are going to have any action on the action, then Fitstairs is the place to do it. But be responsible, gambleaware.org. You know the drill by now, gang. And best of luck with your daily fantasy teams as well, fellas. Take care.
See ya.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.